Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're going on these loans, it's almost like, not that you're getting further away from Arsenal, but do you feel like, how do I phrase this properly? Like, each loan is like you're getting further and further away, or you're getting further and further towards your Arsenal opportunity?
I think...
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. There's cameras all over here, so I don't even know where to look to introduce what. I'm with my right-hand man, Dej. What are you saying?
Bro, I'm good. New setting, new vibe, new energy, new guests. So I'm looking forward to this pod.
No, definitely. This is one that got turned over pretty quickly, so we appreciate like the quick feedback. But before we introduce our guests, I just want to plug the socials. Our Twitter is at podcast_TBG. Our Instagram is at pod_TBG, and our TikTok that's closing on 10k subscribers is TBG Pod. Like the video and leave a comment on YouTube, because the more you comment and the more you like the video, the more it helps the algorithm and the bigger and better guests we get. We are delighted to announce we are joined in the studio with Arsenal youngster and Ipswich loanee, Tyrese John Jules.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nah, love for coming on. We've been trying to get you on for a bit, and obviously I know the turnaround was quite quick.
Yeah.
Because obviously we know people close to the team and stuff. So like, love for coming on and showing your support, bro.
No problem.
No, we appreciate it. So yeah, man, just to kick things off, take us back to the humble beginnings, bro. How did it start for you?
Well, I'm from West London, Queen's Park, West London. So I think it all started, well, that's what my parents told me anyway. So it all started when I was about, what, 4, 5, just in the house, just always at a ball on my feet. I come from a footballing family, really. A couple of my uncles and my dad used to play, not high level, but he used to play. So, yeah, ever since, really, I was a kid, it's always been football. So kicking around in the house, breaking things on the floor, mum shouting at me. And then my dad took me to like a 5 minute down the road, there was a local little football session on a Saturday, and ever since then I haven't looked back, really. He said like he could see something straight away, so did the guys running it. So quickly went into Sunday league team when I was about 6, 7, and then slowly progressed. I was there for like a year, then got scouted for Charlton at like I think 7, and I was there doing well, enjoying it. There for about a year and a bit. Played against Arsenal when it was about 8. Then done pretty well in that game, scored a few goals.
You're talking lightly, you bandied it up, man. Come on.
Like, to the humble beginnings. Played against Arsenal. From then I haven't looked back since. I've been there ever since 8 years old. Signed properly under 9s. So yeah, I've been there pretty much my whole life, really. So yeah.
So what, have you always been a striker? Because I've spoken to like friends that have coached at Arsenal and they said at that youth team level, you were sort of destroying it. You were wreaking havoc, dominating defences. So was that a position that came naturally to you, or where did you play initially?
Yeah, I was striker and like wing. Back in the day, you know, had a lot of energy just running up and down. So anyway, and I like to score goals. So wing, striker, it didn't really matter to me. I just love playing football and being out there. So yeah, I don't really mind.
So obviously you had the appetite to play football from like a very young age. But when did you notice that, hold on, poof, I'm on jobs. Like I can do something.
I would say until about under 15s, under 16s, like, obviously, being at Arsenal for so long, you have some talent. So, but I was never, like, the main guy that there's always, I would not say the main guy, but there was always, like, guys around me who were doing so well, and I wouldn't, like, to watch them too much, but I didn't think that, oh, yeah, like, I'm gonna like, make, I'm gonna do big things until, like, under 15, under 16s, I really started to believe in myself. I was getting like, recognition from like, England and started playing for England, getting sponsorships and stuff like that. And I got my scholar when I was 16. So then I really started to believe in myself and really believe that I could take it somewhere.
Yeah, you said that you were playing with like, you know, those killers in your age group. And I know I've done some research. I know Eddie's roughly around the same age as you. You played with Saka. So who are those people in and around your age group at the time that were sort of like, seen as the main guys?
Yeah, you had, like you said, Eddie. Obviously, he's older than me, but especially when I went full-time, I was seeing him a lot and watching him training with him and playing with him. So, like I said, he was that guy I was looking up to. I was trying to take his space, but also be on the same team, and he was one of my boys. So, at the same time, it's just focusing on myself and then seeing where it can take me. But like I said, back in the day, guys like Trey Coyle, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah, the winger.
Obviously, Emil was near my age. Bakayo was near my age. A guy called Xavi Amici, I don't know if you heard him as well. He's playing in Germany right now. So guys like that were doing a lot at that age and still are doing well. So, yeah, but like I said, I was really focusing on myself and just staying humble and waiting for my turn.
Yeah, because youngsters, you mentioned something interesting about like sponsorships, boot deals and stuff like that. So how is that experience? Because you always hear sort of young players trying to get poached by agents. Come with me. I can get you this boot deal with Nike, Adidas. So how was that?
It's different because you start to feel like you're finding your talent's finally getting recognised and people are starting to want to get do things with you more and help you more. But you've got to be careful at the same time. Like you said, agents, you never know what agents are here genuinely on for the other reason. So you got to be careful and really sit down in family and really relax and take the sting out of things and just make the right decision. But yeah, and like I said, it's good. It's good to see that you get recognised.
So obviously you're 15, your name is ringing alarm bells around Arsenal. You signed that scholarship. What are the family saying? How proud are they?
Yeah, family, super proud, I think. Especially from the comeback, my mum's done so much for me, like taking me to training, leaving work early, late nights, early mornings. So I think my family were, I was doing it for them really. I wanted to repay them in a way to say a thank you for all the things you did for me. And so yeah, they were super proud and they still are super proud. So I hope to continue doing them proud.
So in terms of family, I think that's a big thing that doesn't get mentioned alongside football in itself, because you need that support system when you're coming through, the people to take you to the games.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say you've had a bad game. Those are the people to console you and say, don't worry, you know, Ty, it's going to be okay. Next game. So were your family always football based? Like, did they understand the game or?
You know what I'm saying? Definitely. My mum watches football as well. My dad, everyone watches football in my family. So everyone understood and knew how I was doing. And they would always tell me if I had a good game, bad game. Dad mostly had a bad game, but it helped me to get to where I am today. Like, you've got to be able to take criticism on board and improve and take it to the next level. So yeah.
So I wanted to talk about you breaking into the first team, because obviously, as I said, when I was reading up, I saw that Unai Emery was a massive fan of you.
Yeah.
He took you on the pre-season tour, integrated you into the first team and stuff like that. So from that jump up from, let's say, under 15, 16s, I know there's like under 23s and stuff. Yeah. How was it transitioning into the first team fold?
Yeah, it was tough, to say the least, because obviously you're used to playing with guys your age or a bit older, but you go and get to the first team, they've been doing this for years and years at the top level. So as soon as you're at the first session, you're thinking, fucking hell, man. Sorry, I'm telling you.
It's not a PG, man. It's not PG.
I'm not saying previous. Fully independent on this platform.
Anyway, I'm thinking, like, this is different. Like, everything's fast. Everyone's stronger. So you've really got like, you've got to treat every game like a train. Like, I mean, every training like a game, like it means a lot. So especially all the eyes are looking at you. Obviously, you want to impress the manager, your teammates. You want to come back and train with the first team more. So every impression, you've got to make sure it's good.
So in terms of that integration, like what would you say was the like biggest challenge? Was it sort of like pressure or nerves? Like what exactly was that big challenge that you faced?
I think obviously it's pressure on yourself. You want to, you know what talent you have and you want to show it so much that you can do too much sometimes. So I think it's just handling the pressure in a good way, taking it on board and relaxing, but doing the stuff at the same time. Obviously, you're going to be nervous training with the first team. You should watch them on TV from when you was young. So I think that's natural. But like I said, you've got to use it in a good way and really express yourself.
So what was that first sort of welcome to first team football moment? Like, you know, you go over to the first team of training and you're like, phew, you know what, this is the big league.
Yeah. I think probably one of my first sessions I went over alone, because normally, like, back in the day, they used to, like, when it was, like, international break and then you have, like, some of the first team. So we'll do that 11v11s, but it would be, like, all the 23s and 18s versus, like, the first team and that. So it weren't really, it was a good time to impress, but there were so many of us. But when I first went over on my own, that's when I felt like, all right, I'm not looking, there's none of my boys are here, like, it's just me.
Yeah.
So I've got to, like, lock in, and I felt like, I've done good. But yeah, I'd say that's my first moment where I thought, okay, now it's time, like, I'm here, got to try and impress, so, yeah.
And how would you say that sort of, like, having your boys around you, so for example, like, Eddie, Emil, how does that, like, help you settle in?
It helps a lot, especially, like, see, Like you said, Emil and Eddie, that I played with them when I was young. So to see them in the first team now, and when I used to go over and used to train, I could feel more comfortable and not as less nervous. So I can play my game more and not be scared of making mistakes or just play my game. So when you're there alone and you're seeing no one around, you don't know, can't really turn to anyone and ask da da da. But yeah, so it helps a lot.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask is that obviously you were Arsenal, you were training. As I said, you caught the attention of the manager there. So what's that step like from being in the first team to going out on loan? Do Arsenal sort of come to you and say, listen, Ty, we've got these offers from Lincoln, Doncaster, Sheffield? Or is it sort of agent-led where your agent's sort of saying, we've got these offers, what do you want to do? How's that process of going on loan?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, I think it's got to be both. I think Arsenal and the agent come together, so, and me, of course, think about what's the best step next for me to do. Like, so I was playing in under-23s for quite a bit, and I think there's only so much you can do, and then you want to try and test yourself even more by going out on loan, but you got to find the right team, what suits you, and that's where Arsenal and my agent come into it and try and pick the right team. So, but yeah, it's difficult because my first loan happened so quickly. It happened within like 3 days. I didn't have time to think about it or anything. But I guess that's better for me. So instead of thinking about it, just go and do it and see what happens and try and do your stuff. But yeah, it was a different experience for sure.
Yeah, because I always look at young players and when they're getting loaned out, because I speak to quite a few agents, it's very key to get the right loan at the right time. Mm-hmm. I think someone that's key to that as well is Flo Belogan. Mm-hmm. He's obviously gone on loan to France, totally dominated that league. I think 18 goals. Whereas there's other situations where you look at it and think, didn't work out. And that can sort of have an impact on a player's career kind of thing.
For sure.
So in terms of like deciding a loan, is it based on like stats or are you heavily involved in that? Because I know some players sort of say, you know, this is where I want to go. I think the style of play suits me.
Yeah.
This is a ball playing side. The manager likes this philosophy. Yeah. I fit into that kind of thing.
I think, when you go, you look at how the team are doing, how they play, their stats, like if they're creating chances, especially as a striker, you've got to be creating chances. So you've got to look at all the stuff. That, I don't do that, obviously. My agent and Arsenal do that. But yeah, they've got to look at all that stuff to make sure it's the right fit for me at the right time.
I just want to scroll back a bit. So you signed your pro contract in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, yeah. So around that period, obviously your name was hot. Was there any other teams like saying, okay, you know what, Ty, ooh, we're interested. Like, let me take a look at him. Or was it just Arsenal?
There was other teams, at the time. But obviously I've been at Arsenal my whole life and I've always wanted to play for Arsenal first team. So it was one where I was focused on Arsenal. I was doing so well at Arsenal, I was focused on Arsenal. And yeah, I decided to stay at Arsenal.
Okay, what teams? What teams are interested?
I don't know if I can speak on that one.
No, but it's in the past, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
No, because it's actually interesting because we had Josh De Silva on recently. I knew someone that you said, like, you know what, I have to leave Arsenal to develop. Yeah. So he went down to the champ and said, you know what, that's the best move for my career.
Yeah.
So obviously what we're trying to ask is that in terms of that period, was there like any other clubs maybe at champ level or prem level sniffing around saying, you know what, we want to take you, want to build around you kind of thing?
There was teams in Germany and there was teams in the Prem as well at the time. But nothing was really concrete. Like, it was all like talk and interest and blah, 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 but nothing really actually carried on further. So I didn't really pursue it, really. I just thought, let me just stay at Arsenal because I'm doing so well here and see what can happen.
Yeah, so let's talk about your first loan spell. So how did you find that? You know, because Arsenal, that's one of the Cat A sort of academies, training ground, pristine, treatment, brilliant. Then when you go down to like League One, it's like a culture shock. You're even laughing.
It's the biggest shock. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day when like coaches would be like, oh yeah, when you go on loan, like, you're not nothing to do. Like, I thought, yeah, whatever. Then I went, I'm thinking like, this is mad. Like, this is mad. Like, training ground was not big. Like, compared to Arsenal, it's not big. Obviously the food and that is different, facilities, the pitch is different. And so when I my first day, I was shocked. Like, I didn't know anyone either, so it was all different to me. But you have to get over it quickly. You're here to do a job and to play football, so no time to really think about the other stuff. You just gotta get on the pitch and do your stuff, really.
And like, how did you like settle in? Because sometimes like you hear people say, oh, this is the boy from Arsenal, he thinks he's too good for this sort of situation. Yeah. But I remember when we spoke to like Brooke Norton Coffey, when he went on loan, he took the culture of the club, the fans bought into him, he loved, he was passionate, he was everything about like what you want from a player to represent. So in terms of settling in, how was it for you on a personal experience?
I think it obviously took me a couple of days to settle in. I played against one or two of them like in academy level, so after that couple of days we started to speak a bit, which helped. And then, but when I go to new places like on loan, I like to not do a lot of talking. Like, I like to earn respect through my football. I like to, in training, I'll work hard and do my stuff, and then I feel like the players start to respect you a bit more. So you get that relationship naturally. So I feel like that's how it's worked for me most of the time going on loan.
So how would you describe your first loan spot at Lincoln? Do you think it was a success, or how? What's your overriding memory?
I felt like it was a tester. Like, it was I was 18, I think, 17, 18. And everything was just new to me. I was going into men's football for the first time, different style of play. I was just young. I didn't really know a lot. Just focusing on myself, but living on my own as well. So it was all different. Would I say it's a success? Probably not, but good for experience. I got injured, so that cut my season short, and then COVID came.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a... That one don't really count to me, I enjoyed my time there for the short time I was there. The fans were good, teammates were good, but yeah, it was a tough experience.
So like, if there was one thing you learned about yourself during that first loan spell, what would you say that would be then?
I'd say all the whole living away from home, especially the biggest one. Obviously, it's like 2 hours away from home, so you can't just go home quickly, get food, and then come back. So looking after yourself, finding food for yourself, all of this cooking, cleaning, all of that. I think that was my biggest learning curve with that.
And how difficult was that in terms of, you know, not being able to go home and all of that kind of stuff? Was like, did you have visitors coming regularly? How did you manage that situation?
To be fair, I actually got on with it well. I didn't really have visitors coming like that. A couple of my teammates moved in like 2 weeks after, so it was like 3 of us in the house.
Okay.
So it turned out to be all right in the end. But I would go home every weekend. Anytime I get a chance, I'd go home just to see my family, which was good for me. And then I'll go up and go back up and work for the week. But yeah, I got used to it. I'm always on PlayStation anyway, so it doesn't matter whether I'm at home, far away, I'm always on PlayStation. So that's what gets me through days, basically.
Yeah, so like I had this same question for Justice Silva. In terms of when you signed that pro deal, was there a plan with you to say, okay, we're going to sign this pro deal, you're going to go out on loan. Obviously, you come back, we'll assess, see how you do, go out on another loan. Or was there any sort of structure? It was more so, we see you as a future first teamer, just go out on loan and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'd say the second one. When I signed, it wasn't like, yeah, we're going to sign you, then next season we're going to go on loan. It was more of a, we sign you, obviously we want you to stay, hey, we want you to see your future here, so see how you progress. And then when the right time came, it was time to go on loan. So yeah, I would say it was just a natural progression.
So in terms of obviously coming back from Lincoln, then you come back to Arsenal. So how was that next loan sort of decided when you went to Doncaster?
Yeah, it was pretty much of things. Obviously, I'd only played like, what, 7 games at Lincoln, so there wasn't a lot to watch from Doncaster. But I think it's just seeing if the manager can see something in you that he can wants to help you. Like it was the case at Doncaster when I went. The manager was Darren Moore. And I spoke to him, he said he watched a lot of my games for the 23s, he watched my Lincoln games, he said he could obviously see something, so he wanted to work with me, and I was happy to listen to him and go and work with him. And I thought it was well. I think that loan was a success as well.
Yeah, when you look at the stats, I think 5 goals in 18 games, 1 in 3.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah, that's been your most sort of productive spell in terms of efficiency.
Yeah, for sure. I really enjoyed that that loan. I was there for the season. Obviously, I got injured twice, which has been a theme of my career, to be fair.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll
get on to that. I'm sure we will. But yeah, I was playing well. My first sort of like proper loan where I was like one of the main attackers, and I was playing a lot of the games, and the manager had a lot of faith in me, and he could see my ability. So I appreciate him for that. And I really did enjoy that as well, yeah.
No, I want to dive a bit deeper into Darren Moore, because recently we saw Chuba Akpom, you know, get the Championship Player of the Season, you know, Championship top goal scorer with 28 goals, absolutely dominating the league this season. He's been smashing it in number 10 as well. Yeah. Let's make that clear. And I think in his post-match interview, when he broke the record, he was like, look, Michael Carrick is the manager I've been waiting for all my career. So in terms of Darren Moore, how much confidence did it give you when a manager believes in you?
It's everything, I think. I think when a manager believes in you, it takes a little weight off your shoulder. I think when he knows that what you can do and he keeps playing you, and say you have a bad game, some managers will take you out and just put in the next strike. But if the manager believes in you, he'll give you another chance and he'll work with you on the training pitch. So I think, especially as a striker, that's everything. I think the trust is everything. It will help you be positive when you're on the field, playing with your teammates, scoring goals. If you miss a chance, then he's always there. Come on, keep going. So I really appreciate Darren for that. And he's always been in my corner. So yeah, I appreciate him.
So after that loan spell, obviously you built up a solid body of work. So you come back to Arsenal. What's the conversation then? Because you prove yourself that not only are you a top youth team player, you're a top professional.
So like we said, that was one of the successful loans that I've been on. So the talk was to go out again on loan, but try and get a better division, better team. So I went to Blackpool in Championship, which they just went up from League One. So yeah, that was a talk and try and test myself in a higher division and see how I do. So I think that's how it went. It went pretty smoothly as well, to be fair. So it all happened quite quick.
So how was that loan spell then? How would you sort of describe that, like increasing sort of from League One to Champ?
Yeah.
Like what was the sort of subtle differences that you realised?
To be fair, I didn't feel like, what, on the pitch?
Yeah.
I say in Champ, there's a lot of technically better footballers than League One. I think, obviously, the Champ, there's better teams as well. Obviously, teams coming down from the Prem, teams, steady Champ teams are good teams.
Very good teams.
Yeah, solid teams. So there's not really an easy game in Championship at all, I don't think. So it was a test for sure, playing against guys that have been in that league for how long and doing well. So and coming from League One to Champ, like you said, yeah, yeah, it was just technically really, and a lot more running, I think. Mm. Off the ball, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, and how did you find that loan?
I think at the start, it was good. I was enjoying it. It was a long way from home as well. Mm. It's like 3.5 hours, so I was on my own pretty much the whole time. No one wants to come to Blackpool to see me. So.
What, so the man them were like, that's
far. Yeah, that's far. So I was like, fair enough, I'm gonna fight you. But
bro, like it's important because like how difficult was that mentally? Because you're like, what, 4 hours away from home, you don't get to see family, yeah. You can't go back to ends.
Yeah.
Right, let me quickly go for a Nando's with the boys. Yeah. You can't do that. So from a mental standpoint, man, how did you navigate that sort of challenge?
I think the previous two loans definitely helped me. I think if I went to Blackpool my first loan, I would have been in a bad place for sure. I'd have been in a bad place. So I think the previous two loans helped me a lot. Being in my own company and knowing how to do things, cooking, cleaning, like that. So it helped me a lot. If I didn't, like I said, if I didn't, then God knows. Yeah.
So even we've spoken about going on loans. How is it behind the scenes? So Lincoln, Blackpool, do they provide accommodation?
Yeah.
Or do you have to, like, out of your wages, find your own place? How does that work?
So obviously the first few, maybe like a week or two, three weeks, you stay in a hotel while they look for your accommodation and they help you look for accommodation, which they pay for.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's pretty much leave it to them and then just focus. Oh, so
that's nice. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because obviously you go to Blackpool, then you go back to Arsenal again in the summer. But like during the last like 3 years, you've gone out on loan consecutively, so mm-hmm. 3 times in a row. So in the back of your mind, how are you feeling in regards to your Arsenal future at this time?
It was tough because while I was going on loan, people were getting opportunities at the time, which was tough to see because I'm thinking if I stayed, that would have been me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm,
but I guess you can't really think like that. You just gotta do what you're here to do, on loan, and the rest will follow, kind of thing. So, but it was tough to see. But it was also nice to see my friends, playing for Arsenal and doing well. So yeah.
So yeah, you come back from that spell at Blackpool, then you still go out again. So I went to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, that was in the same season. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you link up with Darryl Moore again, right?
Darryl Moore again.
So I think you only played one game.
20 minutes.
So what happened with that loan? Why was it one game? And
got injured.
Okay.
The first came on, first 2 minutes of the game, got injured.
Okay. Jeez, yeah. So then you come back to Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So then what's the conversation there? Is it you're just doing your rehab, trying to prepare for the next season and stuff like that?
Yeah, literally that. Just rehab, trying to get ready for pre-season, make sure I'm ready for pre-season to do whatever.
Okay, I think we might as well speak about the loans, then the injuries after that. So I know you've been on loan at Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know you sort of, the manager loved you there. Mm-hmm. I saw some quotes from Kieran McKenna. He's from Man United.
Yeah, yeah.
Highly rated coach, wants to play football the right way. You were starting games, scoring goals.
Yeah.
I think your last game was October the 29th against Charlton.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I remember that is because it's my birthday.
That's when it entered his 30s.
So talk to us about that loan spell as well. How you found it?
I've enjoyed every minute of Ipswich, to be fair. I think as soon as I went to Ipswich, the love and support I got was great. Like you said, the manager has nothing but good things to say about him. And I hope he has the same to say about me.
He did. He was like, you were like so positive around the group, even if you're not playing.
Yeah.
Like you're one of those characters that are infectious. You get along with everyone.
Yeah.
You came in early. You were, you know, the ultimate professional. Mm-hmm. So it's like they miss you.
Yeah, no, I felt the love, like I said, as soon as I went there. The manager showed nothing but faith in me on the pitch. So, and off the pitch, he's such a nice guy. You can talk to him about anything. And all the staff are like that, to be fair. And the fans are great as well throughout the whole season. So, yeah. And the teammates, they're doing so well. I'm so happy to be watching them and be a part of the team. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed every minute of it.
So, in terms of, I think Ipswich, they're, I think they if they win their next game, mm-hmm. they're up.
Yeah.
So how has it been like sort of watching the boys and seeing them be successful? Because that top three is, yeah, mad. I think it's mad. Plymouth, Ipswich and Sheffield,
yeah.
Another one of your old teams as well. Yeah, so it's like a three horse race. So how has that been watching it?
It's been nuts, to be fair. There's no room for error. Mm. So watching it is like you're sitting on the edge of your seat. Like every game is tough. Every game's a final. Yeah, that's been our aim, to get promoted. So watching it, knowing you can't do anything and help them is very tough. So, but they're doing their job right now. Hopefully we can get the win on Saturday and seal the deal quicker than. Yeah.
You said we, so I just wanted to know, if you get promoted, will you be getting like a promotion medal? And also, will you be going on the parade as well?
I hope so, Because
I know you're back at Arsenal, right? So, but you're still Ipswich. So, it's, how does that dynamic work, even though you've been recalled to do your sort of rehab?
Yeah.
But you've played a part in the success. Yeah, so, like, will you be part of those celebrations?
Yeah, I think. When I can, like after training, if I go home game, I'll quickly go to the game and watch the game, see my teammates after and the manager. So I'm still pretty much involved. They always, like every week, someone's checking in on me from Ipswich, seeing how my rehab's going and stuff like that. So they always say, make sure you come. I even had a call the other day. One of them said, make sure you come celebrate with us when we get promoted.
Oh, I like that mentality. When we get promoted. Yeah, that's the winner's mindset.
So yeah, it's always nice when they call you and check up on you.
That's dope. So when you say love, man, like what do you mean about like in terms of like falling in love with a club? Because like as fans or people that view the game from a distance, it's almost like a cliche. Like, I fell in love with this club. But what does that mean to you?
I think when you get along so well with your teammates and the staff, that everyone's together. It's not like staff over there, teammates over there. Like we all eat lunch together. We all talk to each other. Everyone's intermingled with each other. So it's a family more like instead of a club. Like everyone's so close together. Even the fans at Ipswich are amazing. Like every home game's like, I think the average is like 25,000 in League One's crazy. So they've been supporting so well throughout the whole season. So like I said, it's like a big, big fan. A family, so I can't say anything bad about them.
So when you're going on these loans, it's almost like, not that you're getting further away from Arsenal, but do you feel like, how do I phrase this properly, like each loan is like you're getting further and further away, or you're getting further and further towards your Arsenal opportunity?
I think it's a bit of both. I think the more loans you go on, the more further you get. Like me, I've been on like 5 loans. So I feel like there's guys getting closer. Like if you stay at Arsenal, you're going to be training with first team. There's a lot of time to impress. Whether I'm on loan, I've got to do it in matches and hope they see. Or if they're watching, then I do my stuff. But I think like you said, Balogun on loan now. He's ripping up.
Yeah.
My boy Balogun. So...
Big him up. Yeah. Big up Flo.
Every day, all the time. But he's doing his stuff. So I would say he's getting closer. So I guess it depends how...
And it also depends how you see it. Because if you say closer, is he getting closer to Arsenal? Or is he stuck high to get sold to like a bigger club?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, obviously Arsenal, they're progressing. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So they're going to be attracting a different caliber of player. Yeah. So obviously Eddie's in the door now because he took his opportunity. And again, he was in the right place to take it. And once he was in there, absolutely dominated.
Yeah.
Now he's a credible member of the first team. So there's different ways to do it. You can go on loan, come back, or you can increase your stock and go to another big team, basically.
I guess everyone has their own path. Like, Bukayo stayed at Arsenal his whole life and look at him, star boy now. So I guess everyone has their own path.
Yeah.
So you got to just believe in the path and stay on that path and look forward, not back.
So now that your loan spell is technically over, even though you're still part of the first team forward at Ipswich, like where are you now? Like how would you because we've done like a little trail, a timeline. So you've gone on the loans, you're back. So right now, what are you saying?
Right now, right the second, I'm just trying to get back fit and ready for pre-season. So obviously I'll be at Arsenal for pre-season. There will be talks that will need to be had about what I do for that season, if I stay, go on loan, leave on a permanent. That's the talk that will need to be had at some point in the summer. So, I'm just, at this point, I'm just focusing on getting back fit and ready for pre-season as best I can be.
And from a mental standpoint, where you at?
Obviously, I've had back-to-back injuries now since October. So I've missed, 6 months the season. So it's been tough, to say the least, this year, especially this year. But my head, you can't keep dwelling on the past. You've got to just keep looking forward. The more you're doing in the past, the more down you're going to get. But there's no time. There's no time to be down. You've got to look at the next objective and look forward into the future.
Because I've seen that. I know initially you had a hamstring injury. Yeah. Then I believe there was a reoccurrence of a quad injury. Mm-hmm. So how is that? Because as fans, we just watch the game, players, he's injured, move on with our life.
Exactly.
Whereas with players, you're having to deal with the injury, like the setback or a tie. You know what? We've had a setback. You're going to have to, you're out on the grass in the next 3 weeks. Then that 3 weeks comes. No, it's another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How do you keep dealing with that sort of back to back? Because this is the part of football that's not spoken about.
Yeah.
The sacrifice, the struggle. And at the end of the day, you're a human being. You're young as well, 22 years of age. So how do you deal with that?
I think family is a big part of it, especially this year. When I had, so I've done my second injury, the last rehab session of my hamstring. So the next day I was supposed to train with the team. So I've done that injury. And then when I done that, mentally I was done. Like, my head was gone. I didn't know what to do. But obviously your family's always there for you to pick you back up. And they helped me focus back on track. And I went home back to Arsenal. So I'm living with my family now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And everyone's around me, so there's nothing more I can ask for, to be fair.
So, like, how bad does it get? Because we've spoken to people and they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm gone, etc. So, and it's difficult. So how bad does it get for you?
It's been bad. It's been bad, like, questioning myself, seeing why, what's going on, thinking, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? All the time just questioning myself.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you've got to get the right people around you to stop stressing and thinking about what I can change and what I can do to try and stop this, because it can't keep happening. I'm just going to keep going on loan or not playing months after months, not playing. So I've got to try and change something with my family and my agent in the corner. Then.
So, like, in terms of, because with injuries, there's different types of ones. There's impact, there's those innocuous ones that you can't do anything about. There's genetically as well. Yeah. There's maybe muscle. So there's things where you can look at, like diet and stuff like that. So how does it work?
Yeah, so all my injuries have been muscle injuries. Mm. So this year last year, I've been like changing my diet, trying to try new things. After this injury, I've had seen like 2 specialists on my body and what I can change to
the composition,
help my body.
Kind of thing,
different position of my body's things are out of place and need to get back into place. And so, yeah, I've just been trying a whole lot of different things, trying to figure out a way to stop the injuries from occurring. So, yeah.
What does your family mean to you, man? Because you've mentioned them 4 or 5 times, so it seems like you're a real family man. So what do your family mean to you, bro?
They mean a lot. Mm. Mean a lot. I think they've done so much for me. When I was growing up, taking me to training, taking me back, taking me to school, homework, all of this. So I just want to repay them, make them proud, do the best I can. So yeah, I wanted to move my family out of the ends. I managed to do that.
That's what we love to hear. And this platform, we champion, you know, players doing well for the, because I think fundamentally you've got a talent, so it's about using that talent to uplift and support the people that are closer to you. So big up for that, bro.
I think that's probably been my biggest life achievement, definitely. So just trying to repay them and make them, keep them happy is probably very important. So
So in terms of your contract at Arsenal, does it end at the end of this season?
Next season. I got one more year.
So how you are right now as we speak today, is that something you'll be opening on extending? Or do you think that maybe you might just need a fresh start? Whereas, because you've been going alone for 3-4 times, you're sort of like, I'm up in roots. Okay, for the next 3 years, I've got a project here that I can get my teeth into.
For sure. I just want to settle somewhere where we're signing a new contract at Arsenal or going somewhere else on a permanent. I just want to, I think it's time to settle down and just focus and chill instead of hopping on loan from loan to loan. Like, it's difficult and it's draining, of course, traveling to all these places. But yeah, like you said, I was trying to settle and focus on one team would be ideal, whether that's at Arsenal or somewhere else.
So at Arsenal, it's an interesting one because it's like the team, you want the team to do well. You're an employee of a club. But if your team does so well, it kind of limits the opportunities, because we're Liverpool fans, and there was a time on our come up where youngsters were getting opportunities for fun. And now when you look at only Trent, and he's like a generational talent. And I think Arsenal are on that trajectory where it's going to be more difficult for younger players. You've got Bakayo, you've got Eddie, Emile Smith-Rowe. He's been sort of in and out. So like that next level now is that we demand top players that are ready made. We can't bring in youngsters to sample. Oh, how does he do for free game? You get what I'm saying? So like, how do you sort of view that situation?
Obviously, you want to play for Arsenal and you've been there for so long. You want to see them do well and win titles and play in the Champions League. So, but like you said, it is tough, especially for the youngsters, to then progress into that first team, because they're going to have money and they're going to buy a ready-made...
That, like, CL money.
That
CL money.
They're going to buy proven players, because they're going to want to keep staying in the Champions League, win titles. So... yeah, it's very tough for the academy, but you can only do what...
you can only control the controllables.
So you can only perform when you're told to. So, I guess you just got to keep looking forward. And if you do get the opportunity, you've got to take it.
I think that's the key word in this football. Opportunity, opportunity. Because I think most players in academy, you've got the ability, but sometimes you need luck. Maybe there's an injury or...
luck as well,
luck is a big part. Yeah. So it's... football is... it's not just down to ability. There's so many factors, man.
It's a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's a...
a lot.
It's a crazy game, isn't it?
There's a lot of stuff.
And in terms of your future, have the club almost like had conversations with you in regards to, okay, we feel that the next steps are going to be X, Y, Z?
I haven't had that conversation with Arsenal yet. I think that would definitely come in the summer, I think. Obviously, they're busy.
When they're prepping.
Today.
I'm the least of their worries right now. I think the summer, that conversation will be had and a decision will be made. So
are you swaying or leaning to any sort of decision, or are you sort of like all is? Let's see what you're saying.
Yeah, all is. I just want to hit every side and I'll pick the best option for me, for sure.
So in terms of Mikel Arteta, I know he was someone that liked you as well in pre-season. He was one of the players that he said, you know what, this boy's got potential kind of thing. So are you in like direct communication with him? Have you spoken to him or anything like that?
No, I haven't spoken to him, but obviously when he first came, I was training quite a lot and we used to like just speak then about like what I can improve on and stuff like that. But I'm not in direct conversation with him. I see him at the training ground sometimes, hi and bye, but nothing, no proper conversation yet.
You raised the interesting point, because I know you're back at Arsenal now rehab. So how is that set up? Are you still seeing the first team players? Are you with the under 23s? Like, what's your sort of routine?
So I'm in the under 23s change room. I work with the under 23s physios and that, but we see the first team like at lunch and in the gym every day, so I see pretty much all of them and speak to all of them. So, yeah, I get to still see them and stuff.
Okay, so what's the vibe right now? Because, like, you know, Arsenal going for the title.
Yeah.
Obviously, recently, there's been a few sort of...
Yeah.
People might call it slip-ups. Mm-hmm. People might just say they're playing better position. Because, yeah, you know, going away to Anfield, getting a draw. We're Liverpool fans. We should have won that. The last
time. I grew up a Liverpool fan as well.
Okay. So yeah, like, what's your take on Arsenal season so far? Like, watching it as someone that's part of the club and obviously a fan.
I'm so happy that they're doing. I think Mikel's such a good manager, and you can see how he's transformed the team, how they're playing now. But that the energy and the vibe has been, like, everyone's been happy at the training ground, laughing, joking all the time. So, but they're very focused and concentrated. They know what's ahead. They know what's about. But you've got to take a game by game. So you can't really get too highs on the highs and too low on the lows. So I think they're positive. They're confident. We'll see if they do it.
Yeah, tonight is the big one. In the literature, Man City, Arsenal.
Big one.
People are saying whoever wins, they're taking all of the marbles. It's a high pressure game, man.
Definitely. Have you had much dealings with Granit Xhaka?
I speak to him sometimes.
Like, how is he? Because, like, a lot of players, you hear them come out and say he's a leader.
Yeah, he is a leader.
But how is he?
He's especially on the pitch. Like, he'll help you, talk to you. Like, if you've done something wrong, he'll tell you, but in a good way. He'll let you know that you've done something wrong, but you know to then fix up and you. But he's not this bad guy that paint him out to be. Not at all. Like, he's the opposite. In fact, he's a nice guy. So, I think he's a big leader and a big part of Arsenal's success this season, yeah.
So when you're watching, like, the first team, obviously you're training with the 20, when you link up with them, what sort of things do you look at and think, that's the reason why Arsenal have been successful this season?
I think they're all just so humble and they all just get on with the job and they respect each other. They're all the team. Like I said, the manager as well, he's got the respect of the players and they're all playing together. Even if the guys on the bench, they're coming on doing their stuff.
So
I think everyone's just playing for each other, and they're going to need each other for the last however many games there is left. So I think, like I said earlier about Ipswich, it's a family. Arsenal, they're like a family. So they're all together.
I want to dig deeper into Bakayo Saka, because for me, this season,
he's
probably the best player in the Premier League, I would say, with Odegaard and Haaland. I think I've said that on four pods now. But when you watch him, do you just think, this is world class?
Yeah, I've been seeing this for how long now? He's been playing the same way throughout his whole youth. Exactly the same. Nothing's changed at all. Like, I watch him, and he's been doing this since under 15s on the 16s.
So was he one of those players that when you played with him, first team, no issue, 1,000,000%, you can, unless anything, you're going to the top.
Yeah, basically. He's going to the top, because, like, under 15s, under 16, he used to play up all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, when, as soon as he came up to Coney, when he was full time, training 23 straight away, in and around the first team, like, playing under 18s, just batting it up, like, just easy. it was destined, to be fair. It was always going to happen for me. I could see it from young.
Because people always talk about how humble he is, but
yeah,
I don't like taking away from the ability. People are like, he's so nice. That was the narrative from England, he's such a nice guy. Let's talk about the character of the man, the ability. Like, what, you know him personally.
Yeah.
What's it about his character in terms of that mindset that I'm just going to take everything, I'm going to dominate big games, I'm going to just rip up my defender, kind of thing?
I think he just believes in himself a lot. Self-confidence as well. I think he knows the ability he's got, so why not take on whoever? Like, he doesn't care who's in front of him. He's just going to play his game and try and do the best he can. And I think, obviously, he's such a nice guy, like everyone says. But on the pitch, it's not about being nice. Yeah. It's about doing your job. So, yeah, no.
I even remember a game against Man United this season where he just gave Luke Shaw a torrid time.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's in front. He just does his stuff. Like, doesn't matter. Could be anyone.
And what about Eddie and Ketia? Because I know you were, I think, roommates in Diggs as well.
Diggs together, yeah.
Talk to us about him, because he's had a different road in, I think, Saka was kind of accepted from the start. This is our star boy. Whereas Eddie, I know from the outside, at least, there was noise.
Yeah.
Is he good enough? Mm-hmm. And people saying, oh, give Flo Belogan a shot over him. This was before he got his big break in, where I know he doesn't really care about the critics. Yeah. He's more, Eddie's more of a, I'm going to prove myself right than critics wrong type of person. So how was Eddie?
Eddie is like a big brother to me. Like, when I was 16, I moved into Diggs with him. So ever since then, like, he's taken me under his wings, been a big brother to me, and training with him, playing with him, you can learn so much from him. Like, he's obviously, he's ahead of me, so I always used to look up to him when he's been in 23s, when he scored them 2 goals for the first team against Norwich. I was there cheering him on. Like,
oh, sick.
So yeah, it was, it's good to see him doing so well now, especially after all the things he's done in the youth, all the goals he scored. Starting to get his praise that he deserves.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, so.
Because I think with Eddie, I even learned from him in terms of mindset. Mm-hmm. That belief that he's got, man, and the ability married together.
Yeah.
That's why we're seeing him be part of the first team, man, and seeing him elevate.
And what's mad about Eddie is that everyone that's come onto the platform and said from early, he sniffs out goals. From early.
I don't know how he does it. Yeah. I couldn't tell you how he does it. I think that's a skill in itself. Like, you can't learn that, I don't think. I think you either have it or you don't. Eddie has it. For sure, like, he'll get goals come off his shin, his knee. He's always in the right place at the right. But I think that's a skill. Like, that's just not luck. There's only a certain amount of times that it's luck, but he does it all the time, and he's always in the right place at the right time. So I got to say fair play to him.
Even another one of your teammates before we come back to you again, Flo Belogan. Yeah. As we mentioned before, he's. This one's like, when he went on loan to Reims, people think, oh, what's this about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is like a remote French team that we haven't really heard of. But the numbers and the stats speak for themselves. The performances speak for themselves. I know I saw some, when I was doing my research, I saw you do some content together. I think England under 21. So talk to us about him, because Arsenal fans kind of, they love him, but they don't know much about him because he's been dominating the youth teams, but he hasn't really had a chance at first team level.
Yeah, that's another one of the bros. So yeah, he came to Arsenal when he was like 12, 13, I think. And then, he's always been, like, sharp. Like, always been sharp as hell and skillful and whatever. But when he got to, like, under-18s, that's when he really started to boy. And, like, his name was ringing, like, scoring goals every single week. So, but, I've always seen it as well. From young, he's been scoring goals. So, what he's doing now is not really a surprise. It's just a matter of time and opportunity, like you said. So even you say you didn't get opportunity, but he scored 2 goals in the Europa League for the Arsenal. So take his chance. That's what happens. He's a goal scorer. So
And talk to us about representing England.
So I made my debut under 16s, and I've played pretty much every age group since then. I've played 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So it's definitely a big achievement for sure, especially now you get into that age. Now it's getting tough to get into that 21 side. You've seen the names in that team.
Joke.
Crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Joke.
So yeah, I think playing for England is such a big deal in your career for sure. Yeah.
So I was gonna say, so in terms of like your international future, do you qualify for any other nations?
Dominica, innit?
Dominica and Barbados.
Okay, so is that something you will consider if they said, listen, Ty, we want you in the first team?
No, he's still got aspirations for England.
No, but on the real, is that something that you will consider? I know you've got aspirations for England, everyone does, but in terms of like the future, maybe in the next, let's say, 2 years or so, is that something you would potentially consider, or you're just focused on getting into that England
team? It's not really crossed my mind.
Obviously, you just want to play club football, sort that out, get fit, have a few seasons.
That's my main priority, But I haven't really thought about that, to be fair. It's not something I thought of. I think every kid from England always wants to play for England, so
I want to talk about you because, like, again, obviously you've had injuries, but I'm all about solutions. Like, how do we get to the bottom of you so we can
this
get
is what
you?
I'm trying to find out.
Because, I want you to get, like, a full season because I think a full season tells a lot. Obviously, it tells this player is durable.
Yeah.
And also, what do you deliver in terms of numbers and stats? Then it gives you, okay, this is my level.
Yeah.
Whereas with you, there's been sniffs. Oh, hey, score goals, dominate. Then injury. So it's like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because football, it's like a... It's a beautiful career, but it's a short career.
Thing,
and when you get sort of like injuries and stuff, there's that next kid coming through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because you're not playing, you're out of everyone's sort of eyeballs. Then it's, oh, yeah, he used to be at Arsenal kind of.
Yeah,
so that's why I want you to like, I need you fit, man.
Yeah,
bro, because you've got the ability. You're technically astute. You've got the physicality, left foot, right foot. You can do everything. But now it's just about showing it. Yeah, putting it into...
Yeah. I think that's just been my main thing since I've been 17, 18, just trying to stay fit. Every season I've had a big injury. I don't do little injuries. Like every time I get injured, it's something long. So that's the main thing right now that I'm trying to cut out. I think if I cut that out, I'll do a lot. I should be a lot better than where I am now. Numbers wise, physically. I think I feel like I'm always playing catch up when I'm getting injured, having to come back and then do well again. And so, yeah, it's been tough, but I feel like if I cut that out, I'll be in a good place for sure.
So do you think, the way you see it, do you think it's like a controllable, or do you think it's, I've just been unlucky, or do you think, is it your body? Is it, because you know, you hear about certain athletes being like explosive athletes, so they've got fast twitch muscles, so they're like more susceptible.
Yeah.
Is it something like that, or do you think, like, what?
I couldn't tell you, I'll be honest. This is what I'm trying to find out. Like, I've seen specialists, been doing work with some specialists, so doing exercises to try and strengthen different parts of my body to help without using certain parts of my body more than I should be. So I'm trying to build up muscle for other parts of my body so my body's balanced. But I'm trying things to stop it.
Bro, man, you're still young, and again, like a perfect example is Chuba, bro.
Yeah,
a lot of
people
are thinking, oh, his career is just like plateaued, and then all of a sudden, mad spike. Now he's the best player in the championship.
Yeah, obviously, we're talking about the aspirations for you're just trying to get fit
for
pre-season. So, is there any plans over the off-season to do, I don't know, a hot weather training camp? Because you speak to pros now, and they're like, you know what, I'm taking my 2-week holiday. The man's going to Dubai. You get what I'm saying?
No, I think. But as a footballer, you need some time to rest because it's been such a long season and whatnot. So, but that's not really my aspirations for this summer. I think I've got to stay fit and come into pre-season as best as I can, in best shape as I can, because I got to hit the ground running. I need to decide what I'm gonna do, whether I'm gonna stay, go. I need to be ready to do whatever. So I think this summer I'm gonna definitely put in the work for sure.
Yeah, like my last question was in regards to the Arsenal fans, because, bro, I'm not going to lie, 2-3 years ago, your hype on Twitter, social media, Instagram, the Arsenal fans were saying, this guy, you are the truth.
Yeah.
So what do the Arsenal fans mean to you, bro? Because they've supported you from day dot.
Exactly, from the jump. I love the Arsenal fans. They've been with me since however long I can think of. Obviously, playing under 16s, under 18s, under 23s at Bournemouth, they'll come support, see if how we're doing. I always get like messages even now saying how am I doing. When you're Arsenal,
they love you.
But as a youngster, you need that as well for your confidence. It's always nice to see fans on Twitter saying good things about you, and it helps you on the pitch. Gives you self confidence a lot. So. Yeah, and I love all the support that I get from anywhere, especially Arsenal,
So how's your relationship with like social media? Because you speak to some pros, they're like, stay away from it. It's a negative place, etc. Yeah. But like, what do you think about it?
I try to stay away from it as much as possible, especially like when I'm playing games and I'm fit. I try not to look at social media, especially Twitter.
Yeah,
I try to stay,
We were talking about
Toxic place. Mason Mount came off.
Yeah. I try to stay away from it as much as I can. But you're going to see some stuff.
Yeah.
Inevitable. So, but yeah, I don't...
Obviously, just slap on that burner.
Because that's when you start thinking stuff. Okay. And you see things, you're thinking, oh,
nah. Yeah.
But yeah, nah. I try to stay away from that. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, man, and talk to us about life outside of football. I know you mentioned it earlier. You're always on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
What game are you banging? Is it COD?
COD,
is it
FIFA? COD.
Is it Warzone?
Yeah, Warzone. Yeah. Pro Clubs, like, it's even one of them two. Yeah, other than that, I live a boring life, to be fair. I don't, like, I go train, I go home, play PlayStation. That's pretty much my life. Might go out to eat here and there, but that's a, pretty much it, to be fair.
What, you on TikTok or YouTube? You got any, like...
YouTube. I don't watch TV. I just go on YouTube.
So, what? Who's your favorite content creators?
Kais and that. You know, on Twitch and that.
No, I'm not on Twitch. We're probably too old. We're probably.
He's 32. What's the speed though?
Yeah.
I watch guys like that.
Yeah. He's very entertaining. Yeah, like, I remember, was it during that Sideman show? Like, his profile just spiked.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. Ronaldo, isn't he?
Yeah. So I watch stuff like that. I watch like a lot of football stuff as well. I was watching football clips and whatnot. So yeah.
And in terms of like music, what are you rocking with?
I'm a Gunna fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a
Gunna. Is it just straight American rap, or are you dabbling in with the Afro beats, the
Afro
UK?
Beats. Okay. I'm on Afro beats, yeah. American, English, yeah.
Here and there.
But mostly American or Afro beats, especially now, yeah.
Okay, what artists? Okay, Gunna, who else that in terms of the Afro beats?
Yeah. Afro beats, obviously you got Sake.
Yeah, he's the man of the moment.
Yeah. obviously you've got Burna Boy with kids, that's who pretty much I listen to.
So like, what else, anything outside of football that I've started asking this question recently, like how footballers protect their world, because it's a short career. Obviously, like, you're earning good money. So is there anything outside of the game that you're doing at the moment? I know you're still young, so I think sometimes when you're young you need to get out of your system. You get what I'm saying? But is there anything you're doing to maybe protect your wealth?
Not at the moment. Well, I've got obviously an investment in the house and stuff, I haven't looked into it more than that. That's something that I will definitely get into, because like you said, it's a short career. You don't earn all this money for the rest of your life. So you've got to make sure your money's tied up into some good investment. So that's definitely something I will be looking into.
And what does your community mean to you?
What do you mean by that?
In terms of like giving back or helping people, like what? Have you got a strong emphasis on that?
Yeah, I always like try to like always give boots. I send back home to some charities and stuff. And like my shirts and that. So I always try to give back to people I can. As much as possible. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
So just in terms of last message to Arsenal fans or even Ipswich fans, because both of the teams, it's like every club recently you've been at is touching success.
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday promotion chase. Yeah. Ipswich about to get promoted. Arsenal in a title race. So like,
you've got the magic touch.
Yeah. So any sort of message to Arsenal fans in terms of, I don't know, your hopes for the future, hopes for this season as well?
First of all, I hope they win the league for one. And I just want to say appreciate the support from coming up from however long it's been, how many years it's been. And yeah, I'll be back for sure doing what I do best on the pitch, and hopefully it will stay like that as well, and less injuries and scoring more goals. So yeah.
No, definitely, man. And bro, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come onto the platform, and we love your journey. We're going to be supporting, man, and good luck for the future and for next season, my bro.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully in the next sort of 12 months we can have another sit down and you've had a mad season.
That's the plan, for sure,
summer.
That's it, my bro. But yeah, love, man.
So we got a closing tradition on this podcast where we ask, you know, the guest that's experienced this wonderful podcast to recommend a guest in football or a potential guest in football to come onto this platform. So after experiencing this, again, wonderful podcast, where do you stand? Who do you recommend?
I'm trying to think of an interesting story.
And someone that you can potentially help with. It's not a dream.
And we're going to be instant DMing you. So we're going to be putting pressure.
Try Flow. Balogun.
Okay, you can help with it.
I'll say my part, but no, I think he's a good dad. He might come on there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's real, man. We know his people. He's a good guy. So, so we're going to leave it there. That's another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I got Tom in the background giving me the eye saying, listen, your time is up. So over and out until next time. Peace.